continues his run. The back heel for Sergio Roberto. One-time cross for Luis Suarez. Oh. Luis Suarez with the opener.
Bonaventura again. Backer with a run ahead of him. Suso to his right. Here is Suso, who sends San Siro wild.
He's all around him. Has to try and block it out. Up against Anthony Lopez. He scores confidently.
Lewandowski goes for the goal. He just can't do it. You just cannot be that good. That is an amazing goal.
Hello and welcome to the European Football Podcast. We apologise for the drilling. This week we're doing our roundup of Ligue 1. It's been a very exciting season, I think we can all agree. It's been very interesting. PSG didn't win. The table as it stands at the end of the season, there is still one thing to finalise, which is Lorient's relegation playoff. Monaco obviously won. Paris have made into Champions League, so have Nice, but they had to play some qualifiers. Lyon are in the Europa League. Marseille have recovered well to make it to the Europa League qualifiers as well. And the relegated teams, Nancy and Bastia, are confirmed, and Lorient are 2-1 down after their first leg against Troyes. I think I've said that right. I hope so. I suppose start with Monaco, guys. What a year they've had.
Yeah, it's been fantastic, hasn't it? I mean, you know, it's not as if we didn't know that they had it in them, because, you know, they've always been a threatening team in Liga, and, you know, realistically, it's always been them and Monaco, and, I mean, you know, the likes of Lyon and Marseille have dropped off over the last couple of years, but to see them back where they are, you know, they've got the financial backing now, and they've got good talent coming through the ranks. They've obviously got Mbappe, who has had a sensational season. You know, he played a few games last season. Perhaps he wasn't as impactful as he has been this year. And, you know, to make it to the Champions League quarterfinal, semi-finals even, is fantastic. You know, and for someone of his age, 18 years old, he scored 20 plus goals now for Monaco. He scored 21 goals this season for them, which, it's sensational. I mean, you know, we've seen price tags being fired around for him. I think Liverpool had a bid rejected of 75 million. There's been other big teams across Europe trying to fire bids at Monaco. But we've got people like Thierry Henry, who he looks up to, saying that he needs to stay there for at least a couple more seasons to try and mature. And, you know, if he can establish himself as a key player at Monaco and really push on from what they've done this season, then certainly he might move on in the future. But again, you know, we've had breaking news as well about one of the other AS Monaco players, Bernardo Silva, has reportedly been agreed to move to Man City for a fee in the region of, you know, £50 million, which is a staggering figure. And, I mean, he's been sensational so far in the Europa League and in the Champions League and in Liga this year as well. So whether or not they can hold on to the players that have got them there is another thing. But yeah, like I say, they've already lost a key talent in Bernardo Silva, so hopefully some of the players will stay there. But if they do start dropping away, then it's going to be, I don't know if Monaco will reach the heights again next year.
Yeah, I mean, we spoke about it last time when we covered Liga, and that we were actually quite worried this was going to happen, that they were going to get have quite a lot of their key players poached. But the Bernardo Silva transfer is actually particularly interesting, because I'm pretty sure until when it was announced yesterday about 7 o'clock that it was officially unveiled, he's been linked endlessly to Manchester United, and then suddenly City have come around and done another coup. It's very similar to what happened with Leroy Sané last summer. They were, United were in for him for so long, and then at the 11th hour City just seemed to come in and steal the player away. So they do have a track record of that. The figure, like Jack said, it's unclear, because it's been bassed around quite a lot this morning. BBC reporting it's about £45 million, but that's with add-ons as well, whilst things like TalkSport and Sky are saying in total it'll come to near 60 to up to 65 million euros, million pounds, which, if that's the case, it would make him their most expensive signing that City will have made in their club's history. But, I mean, He's had a fantastic year, Bernardo Silva, as have Monaco in general. And just quickly, just looking at it, though, I think it's a bit of a weird signing for City, because whilst he's very good, I don't quite know where he's going to definitely fit into that team. He's got 9 goals and 8 assists in this Ligue 1 campaign. the second, if he comes in, then that's the second best return of anyone in City's midfield, ahead of Silva and Yaya Toure, but behind Kevin De Bruyne, who had 9 goals and 18 assists, and you know he had a fantastic year. But I think it's a really interesting move. Going back though to Monaco as a whole, they've had a fantastic year. It can't be said. Leonardo Jardin has built a fantastic team. You know, season before he focused entirely on defensive outplay. This year they focused almost entirely on offensive with 107 goals that they've banged in. They've been just insane when it comes to their attack. I think though that they are going to have to be very careful. This could be the opening of the floodgates, really. We know that Bakayoko has been courting interest for quite a while from Chelsea, so that's going to be interesting to see where that goes if that happens. There's talk as well that Mendy might be going to City as well, because they've just released basically all of their fullbacks. So they will be buying left backs, and Mendy's a quality player to sign. Fabinho has been linked incessantly with everyone, City included. I mean, I think we were joking around earlier that they might, what was it, Jack? You said might as well call them
AS Man City
go. Yeah, I mean, yeah. At the rate they're going, it could happen. Jardin, of course, himself has been linked with a move potentially to Arsenal. If that's going to happen, I don't know. I mean, Dortmund is the other one, which is reportedly potentially an interest. I don't think that's a step up, really, if he goes to Dortmund at the moment. I think it's the same. But it's a testament to how well this team has done this year. They have been fantastic, and they thoroughly deserved the Ligue 1 trophy. And like you said, finally we've got someone other than PSG winning.
Exactly. I mean, we mentioned the win, we mentioned League Cup final they made, the French Cup semi-final and the Champions League semis. This was with a team with an average age of 24 throughout the season. As you said, 107 goals scored, 31 against, so they've hardly been kind of that weak defensively. A 76 goal difference, which is the kind of thing you expect from a Real Madrid or a Barcelona, I suppose. Based off my estimations, if Bernardo Silva's gone, Thomas Lamar won't go.
Yeah.
On my assumption that one of the wingers would go, one of the fullbacks would go, that was always my belief. With Tielemans coming
in as well, this
is another big signing, of course. He's been kicking around for quite a while, a long time. He's rated very highly. He's the captain of
Anderlecht. Anderlecht, 18 years old as well. And I mean, you know, he's got, I think it was 13 goals and 13 assists in the Jupiler League this year. So, you know, and he's still only 19 years old, 20 years old.
Incredible, isn't
he? He's fantastic. To be a team captain at such a young age just shows how much potential he has. I think it's not a direct sort of one in, one out with Bernardo Silva, because I think Bernardo Silva offers a lot more offensively in terms of creating chances for the team. But I think that Tielemans, as someone who can operate that engine room and someone who can, you know, be in that sort of holding midfield role, travels forward sort of like a Pogba, that sort of role where, you know, he's a centre midfielder who drops deep, but at times he gets forward and he can grab you some fantastic goals. You know, he scored quite a few goals outside of the area in the Belgian league this year. So I've got very, very good hope for him. And again, you know, like you say, you comment on how youthful they are, and it's just, again, yet another youth signing. Someone who perhaps Leonardo Jardine, it does strike me as it's his signing. He went out and tried to get this player because he sees a lot of potential in him. And, you know, give him a couple of years. If Mbappe stays there this summer, which I hope he does, give them time to gel as a partnership. And I think that might blossom into one of the best midfield attacking partnerships in the whole of Europe.
Would you say Tielemans more likely suggests one of Fabinho or Bakayoko going?
Yeah, that was what I thought when the move was initially made. Is potentially, I thought more Bakayoko, because he has got that bit more, like Jack said, that quality of sort of that really good transition play. And we've seen Bakayoko this year function very much as a box-to-box midfielder, whilst Fabinho is pretty much one of the best CDMs, I think, going around in Europe, if not world football at the moment. He's an absolutely fantastic player. It's a really smart move for both parties, though, definitely. I mean, great replacement for a quality player for Monaco to bring in, but also for Tielemans. There's very few clubs, really, in Europe where he can continue that level of growth and development that he's already shown at Anderlecht. I mean, Dortmund is probably the obvious one which jumps out so many. Leipzig would be another team that's a good shout at the moment. But I think Monaco, just in terms of how well they're doing at the moment in promoting youth players, it's a really good move for him. Otherwise, you know, there's a lot of talk for ages that he's going to be moved to Barcelona, but he had just been rotting on the bench there, or probably loaned out to, I don't know, a mid-table La Liga side.
Like Odegaard, really.
Yeah, exactly. It would have been really unfortunate. But I think it's a really, really savvy move on both, for both parties.
No, it's great. Well, as you said, Mbappe, I think 29 appearances in the league with 15 goals, 8 assists, 9 appearances in the Champions League with 6 goals. Astonishing stats. I think we're all agreed he shouldn't leave. He should stay. He should continue to grow. As you said, like with Tielemans coming in, this is a team that promotes young players and gives them an opportunity and to play well in the Champions League.
Well, this is it. I think that so many times before we've seen a lot of good young prospects. You mentioned Martin Odegaard. You know, he was meant to be the Norwegian Cristiano Ronaldo. He hasn't really lived up to that. You know, Real Madrid bought him out on a whim, and they've loaned him out since. He's been at their lower club, the Real Madrid Castilla, for a bit as well, and he's had a bit of falling out with the coaching staff, and you know, stuff like that happens when you're at such a young age. You know, when you get these players who are really have a lot of pressure put on them because of the large amounts of money that are being paid for them, then you're obviously going to see that is going to be that's going to be hovering over their head in terms of all of their performances. You know, we've seen it with Pogba as well. When he went back to Man United, he's still fairly young, but he had that world record transfer fee hovering over his head, and he didn't really want to. You know, he wasn't able to express himself perhaps as much as he would have liked to have done. So I think if he can stay, unless it's ridiculous money, this is it. It gets to a point now where if, say, someone comes in and bids 200 million for him, then, you know, if you were Monaco, you'd be stupid to say no, because such a large sum of money for a player is ridiculous. And, you know, in terms of football as a business, you'd be silly not to accept it. But I feel like in terms of his growth and his potential has so much that I would hate to see him go for a big price and then fail.
Yeah, I mean, just quickly, the Tielemans transfer was reportedly about 25 million euros, so that's about £20 million, which is good price actually, to be fair,
in this
market.
Day, yeah.
But just touch on what Jack said again. I mean, I think Mbappe has decided he's going to spend at least one more season at Monaco, so we probably should expect that he's not going to get bought. The only two clubs I could see that would have the financial pulling power to maybe bring him away are Man United, because they spend stupid money on when it comes down to a transfer, but it looks like they've got their eyes set elsewhere on Griezmann and Belotti, their two supposed targets that they're looking for, even Lukaku or Harry Kane. It changes every day. They're linked to some different striker each day. But I think the other one is obviously Real Madrid, who have that pulling power and that ability. Interesting, Barcelona have not yet been mentioned at all, which is interesting, but I mean, I think we're covering it here. Mbappe has just had such a phenomenal season. I don't think he'll move this year. I think if he was to move, Real Madrid is probably the most likely option, but Real Madrid, I think this year, will probably be focusing elsewhere on recruitment. Maybe, I mean, Dybala is the other elephant in the room that everyone sort of might be looking at, and depending on how well he does, I think in the Champions League final coming up, that's going to be his probably audition for them. But I think Mbappe will stay. I think the other players we might see, I think you said it there, Nathan, I don't think Lamar will leave. I think their back line will mostly stay the same. I think of all of them, Mendy is probably the most likely. I don't think they'll get rid of Mendy and Sidibe. I think the thing is with their team, I think if they're going to lose players, it will probably be their at least one player from each position. I don't think they'll lose their strikers. I think Falcao, Germain, and Mbappe will all stay. I think they've lost their winger in Silva. Probably Bakayoko will leave. And then maybe the only centre back, the defender I could see aside from Mendy leaving, will be Jemison. He might be, because he's had a very good season.
Yeah, and he's quite young still.
Yeah, and he's gone under the radar. But I think a lot of clubs have suddenly looked at him because he had a very good Champions League performance. So he might be the only one to leave. But I think aside from those 3-4 players, really, I don't think they'll lose the rest of them. I think they should be able to retain them. And, you know, they can say, look, we're league champions. We've got Champions League next year. We had a really good run next year. Build it next year. Go for whatever we can next season. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. But like we said, you know, full praise and credit has to go to this team. They have been fantastic this year.
Well then, moving on to second place, Paris Saint-Germain. They finished 8 points behind Monaco. And they've lost 5 games this year, which is as many as they lost in the previous 2 seasons combined in the league. Laurent Blanc, this is last season, was sacked, having kind of done the whole clean sweep domestically, because he couldn't go any further in Europe. Unai Emery, I think he's still got the cups to go, but it's not gone well, really, has it?
Well, I mean, I think you know, when you talk about it in terms of the grand scheme of things, and we know that PSG have won it for the last four seasons, they haven't really been pushed up against it until now, and I think that that's perhaps something of a new experience for the players in that side. And obviously they lost Zlatan. He potentially was a massive figure in the dressing room. He was almost certainly a leader in that team, and you know, to have someone like that go, I mean, Cavani's picked up where he's left off in terms of the goal scoring, what, with 35 goals in the league so 36 far
36 games 35 goals yeah.
So he's been phenomenal this year, and you can't take anything away from that. I feel like it's just maybe come as a bit of a shock to the player system that they are up against now a team who can win. They've had it relatively easy on them, and I think as well, you know, they've got their defenders are good. I think Thiago Silva may be approaching the end of his career, and then of course you've got Marquinhos, who is always being floating around as maybe moving somewhere abroad. I've heard potential of him moving to Man United to help them out with their defensive troubles. But yeah, I think that team really, it's just really a shock to their system. If we know that they have the money to rebuild, and they can react to what Monaco have done by buying players themselves, and I'm hoping that PSG don't just start dropping off now. I think that they won't, but you know, once you've gotten used to winning so much, and then this happens and it's completely out of nowhere, no one would have seen that Monaco would have been, you know, pushing them so close this year. So I think it's maybe just a bit of a shock to the system. Maybe they are still suffering a bit from losing Zlatan, but once they have figured out the kinks and brought in some new players, it should be fine for them.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird when you look at it on the stats wise as to where this team went wrong. I mean, they had the second most number of goals in the season with 83, which is a really solid output, to be fair to them. They're only, it's five clear of the next team, which was fourth place, Lyon, who was 77. You know, granted, they were 24 goals behind Monaco. This Monaco team, like we've been talking about, they were just phenomenal at attack. Defensively, though, they've been the best in the league, actually. You know, 27 goals conceded all campaign is a pretty solid record. So when you look at it on those wise, you know, their defence has been good, their attack's been strong. It's just the timing, I think, of some of the losses. You know, they can be a bit deceptive. They will, you know, they'll go out and tonk a team 5-0 and then they'll lose a clear 1-0 game the next week. And I think Jack's hit the nail on the head there. It's morale, or it's something in that dressing room that went wrong, because that team, when you look at it, it's got incredible strength and depth right through the pitch. Arguably the striking position is the only one where outside Cavani, you know, you'd struggle to name a real quality striker, but they've now got Draxler, who can play as a false nine. You know, Ben Arthur had a really good season last year. They've got Di Maria, who can drop into that kind of false nine role if they really needed him to. But it's, I think what's happened probably with them is just something's gone wrong in the dressing room is the only logical reason I can think behind. I think Emery, from day one, kind of knew that he had to do well in the Champions League, so he might have focused too much on that. And then after that spectacular collapse and against Barcelona, I think he's just been on increasingly shaky ground. By that point, the league was really away from them. They weren't going to win it back at this point. And I think, you know, even if he wins the Cups, I don't think he's going to be here next season. I think that'd be really harsh if he is sacked, but PSG's owners don't strike me as the ones that are going to be patient. They're much more of an early Roman Abramovich than I think Sheikh Mansour, for example. Now, that comparison might seem weird, but I'm thinking because PSG haven't really invested in their youth system at all. They focus entirely on building up the big stadium and being in the big transfers, which is short-term success they're focusing on. And clearly now their owner is very trigger-happy, wanting them to do well in the Champions League. So because of that, I just don't think he'll be around. Because I mean, Laurent Blanc did a really good job for them, but he was sacked because he didn't do well in the Champions League. And I think the same thing could easily now happen with Emery.
Is the problem with PSG partly down to their money? You speak of there must be something wrong kind of with the players' mentality, because they are all very, very good players, undeniably. But you look at some of the people they've signed this season, Grigor Krychowiak. I can't pronounce it right.
Krychowiak, yeah, I know. Krychowiak. Yeah.
I mean, he's hardly played this year, I don't think. Yeah. He's not done anything. I mean, Emery brought him with him from Sevilla. Di Maria, he went from being one of the world's best players, I think, at Real Madrid, having a tough time at Man U, and then going to PSG, where he's done better, but your question, is it the money? Is it the short kind of termism of the club's kind of mentality as a whole that affects that, do you think?
I'll just jump in on this one quick. I think yes, I don't think they have properly planned for the future, really. I don't think there is any kind of long-term plan. I think it's mostly, you know, go in, win, and do the best they can. I mean, I don't know why they signed Krakowiak and then just left him on the bench, because Umtiti and Verratti and Rabiot have all done very well. Rabiot is probably the one exception, I would say, and actually, to be fair, Verratti, who have kind of shown the long-term plan and project maybe that they might have.
And those are the youth players that have come through the club.
But the thing is, like, we haven't seen any really since then that are of a high level. I think they've got the 18-year-old striker Okoneo. I don't know his name.
Yeah,
he's sort of kind of just not developed really this season at all. He's struggled, and I don't know. I think personally, yes, I think the money issue is. I think they might take a new approach, maybe remodel how they're going to run the club and set more realistic ambitions. I think that their Champions League ambitions, they are a team that can get there. For years they've been that maybe club that might just be on the point of breaking through, but they just haven't been able to. So maybe I think a structural remodelling in the club of what they aim to do, how they're going to approach it and what their ambitions are, instead of just throwing money at the team and hoping that they're, you know, if we buy enough players then surely they'll win. But, you know, we've seen with squads that doesn't work. You know, look at United this season, they tried that approach and it didn't work for them winning the league.
Well, it did get them into the Champions League.
Yeah, true.
In the end. Speaking of which, one rumour I saw this morning, Lucas Moura to Manchester United. Does anyone know how old Lucas Moura is? Because he's been around for a while. It feels like he's been around for ages. Take a guess.
Maybe like 26, 27?
I think he's 23.
24?
Ooh.
You were closer there, but I feel like he could have been 28 and I wouldn't have been surprised.
This is it. He'd been around for quite some time. You know what, he got bought in by from Sao Paulo, I believe, when he was 19 years old. And you know, he's been in that team for quite some time now. He's had the experiences of winning the league with them, and you know, we know that he's got the pace. He might be getting on now, but he's still got that sheer pace that can get him behind. I mean, he finished, in terms of their goal scoring, their club's goal scoring, he was the second highest goal scorer. Of course, he wasn't anywhere close to Cavani's heights of 35 goals, but you know, he did chip in. And I think Jeremy touched on it as well. You know, if they do get rid of him, then they are going to have to find a second striker that they need to have in that team, because I feel that at the moment it's very much a one striker club. I feel like it's very much Lucas Moura going to United will leave this club in a position where they need to buy offensively, and they need to buy quality who can not shadow Cavani, but someone who can be there and potentially take over from Cavani, because Cavani's getting old now as well. So in terms of their attack, he probably has a few more years in him, but with Moura going, that definitely leaves them lacking up front.
Okay, well, Nice led the table for a good portion of the year, and we were all kind of praising them for like their ability to stay up there, but ultimately they did fall away, and what was it in the end, 17 points behind Monaco by the end. But they did very well. They're in the Champions League qualifiers. Can they push on from this? I mean, no one really talks about some of the individual players, but there are some. I think one of the midfielders, Cisse or something like that. They've got a good manager in, is it Lucien Favre there?
I think it is, yes.
Yeah.
Probably should have checked before, but
we
yes.
We probably should check these things, but we haven't. But they've had a good season. Could they do it in Champions League? Do well?
I think they'll be happy with themselves if they get out of the group. I think if they qualify for it, they'll be happy to get out of the group. And yeah, I mean, you know, we don't really want to, I mean, we've talked about him before, but Mario Balotelli has, I wouldn't say had a comeback season, but you know, he was very, very much ridiculed by the English media for, you know, his personality and his decisions off the pitch. And I think that with his time that he spent in the Premier League, it was perhaps maybe, you know, this was obviously a bit of a downside to the performances that he put in, because he did have a good couple of performances for Man City and the like. So I feel like him going back to France now and getting a bit of refreshment for his career is fantastic for him. And I think we've seen him, you know, really progress this year. I don't know if he can be the main source of goals for them for much longer. But yeah, I mean, in terms of him and his personality with the French media, it seems to be clicking just at the right time, so to speak. So I think in terms of him and whether or not he can help this team do well in the Champions League is another thing to be seen. I think one other player that I would like to talk about is Alassane Player, who has got 11 goals as well for the club. So those two combined, he's an out-and-out right winger, and he's a fantastic cutting back in on his left foot. And I definitely feel as if they can keep hold of their players, maybe buy a few more players in that squad, because I think, you know, their defence wasn't the best. At times they would concede a lot of goals at times. I think they lost 4-0 against Monaco during the season, which obviously Monaco free scoring, but again, when you're competing as a top three side, you need to be plugging the holes at the back, and you need to really try and you know, shore up your defence before you concentrate on attack. So I think there will be a few more signings coming into that side in all areas of the pitch, and if they can sign well and keep the players that they've got that have got them to this position, then I think that they'll do fantastic in the Champions League.
Okay, well, their last game they drew 3-3 away at Lyon. Do you know one player, Lyon made it to the Europa League, do you know one player who won't be joining them there next year?
Lacazette.
He said he will pretty much be moving. He scored his 99th and 100th league goals for Lyon in that game, which is nice of him.
A fitting end.
His record as it stood at the end, in 275 appearances, 129 goals in total, 100 in the league, 4 hat-tricks for them, and 26 assists. A very good player. Where's he going?
Well, I mean, this thing, it's been kind of for God knows how many summers. I mean, it feels almost as long as Lucas Moura's been playing, but he's been linked pretty much every single window for ages with either Arsenal or Liverpool, primarily as one of joining those two. But it seems now pretty much that he's going to join Atletico Madrid and link up with Simeone there. Maybe a lot of people are thinking, is that then the replacement striker for Griezmann? We know Atletico have this fantastic history of whenever they lose their top striker, they then bring in someone that's equally good, except for Jackson Martinez. But they do this sort of very well, and I think Lacazette would be a really good buy for them, to be fair, in that role. I think he shows similar qualities at times to Griezmann. He's not similar in the sense that Griezmann's a very creative player as well as an offensive player. I think Lacazette is just pure pace and attack, really, when it boils down to it. But I think it's good. It's a good move from them. I think it's a shame for Lyon, because they were a club that was sort of starting to rise back up a bit and trying to claw their way back after being knocked so spectacularly off their perch by PSG. And I think it's a shame that it's probably happened, but it was something which I think a lot of Lyon fans for quite a while have kind of been bracing for and waiting for the inevitable to finally happen. And yeah, it's a nice way for him to end then with his 100th club goal, but I don't know if his career is really going to move on too much when he's at Atleti. I'm probably going to regret those words in 12 months, but hey, that's my view.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you look at it as well, it sort of poses the question as where now for Lyon? Because if they're getting rid of their main centrepiece, their main talisman striker, who scored 28 goals for them this year, it's really looking, you know, where are the majority of the goals going to come from in that squad? They scored 77 this year, which is not a small number, but, you know, to have almost a third of the goals coming from one player is phenomenal for Lacazette. But what else? They don't really have anything in terms of attack that they offer going forward. I mean, they have got a good few skilled midfielders that they can rely upon for a goal here and there, but they don't have someone who's going to be grabbing, you know, 20 plus goals a season. And I think obviously with a striker like that going out, they're obviously going to be bringing someone else in, but who they're going to find to replace him who can be that prolific at such a top level in the French league is, I don't know how they are going to replace him.
Well, as you say, Nabil Fekir did not have a good season this year at all. I know he struggled with injury at the start, and he was very promising the year before that and prior to this, so you hope he can kind of get back to form. So he looked like a real good looking player. Obviously Memphis Depay is there. He had an all right time since being there. He scored that ridiculous kind of halfway line goal. Can he push on? Could he take that position?
Maybe. I mean, so I don't know. I think we're all speculative about it because of his time in Manchester. But I mean, he did very well in the Eredivisie. But the Eredivisie is deceptive at times. I mean, look at Vincent Janssen, for example, in terms of his record there. I'd like to see him do well. I think it would be good for him to get his career back. I don't think it's ever going to reach the height and hype that he once had. But it'll be interesting to see. I think he could do well if him and Fekir can maybe link up, maybe as a front two. Then I think, or as, you know, two members of a front three, then I think they have.